of course, like I mentioned, Mission Bicycle Company. But you could also order them online, I guess. But each t-shirt comes with a pin to mark your favorite Mission District hotspot. All proceeds support future reporting projects. And it's only $15. It's got a cool little map of the area and like all the stuff that's going on in the mission.
That sounds like fun.
Is that like the map project?
I'm not sure.
Oh.
It's a map on the t-shirt. It is on missionlocal.org. So go to missionlocal.org and check it out. But it's a cool little thing that I think they're doing to try to raise some money and raise some recognition for Mission and businesses that are located within the Mission District.
There's going to be a Mission Street Food Festival next weekend.
Nice. Where's Folsom. That at? Do you know Folsom?
Actually, I have the card. Hold on. Hold tight, listeners.
Yes.
It's going to happen. I have the flyer.
Okay, I'm going to read a news story while she's doing that.
Do it.
So the canola thing with the stuff. Nearly all of the canola used in the U.S. is grown in North Dakota, and roughly 90% of the plants are genetically modified versions that can resist two types of herbicides. Genetically modified crops are commonplace in fields across the United States, but a new study suggests that some plants have spread into the wild. A survey of North Dakota has turned up hundreds of genetically modified canola plants growing along roads across the state. The results... Oh, you have your postcard... You want to do that now? Do your postcard.
I totally want you to...
Get that queued up. That queued up in the news. The news
I room. Will. I will queue up my postcard.
All right, back to canola. The results presented Friday at the annual meeting of the Ecological Society of America in Pittsburgh show that the vast majority of feral canola plants in the state contain artificial genes that make them resistant to herbicides. Researchers also found two plants that contained traits. Is everything cool?
I'm just trying to understand the concept of how that works in science and why that would be a good thing. But anyway,
that they're resistant. Sure. Researchers also found two plants that contain traits from multiple genetically modified varieties, suggesting that genetically modified plants are breeding in the wild. Yep, that's what happens when they got too much time on their hands, nothing to do.
That's right.
They start breeding.
How dare those canola oils
start eyeballing each other?
Those flowers breed in the wild. That is absurd.
It's Friday night. There's nothing going on. What else are you going to do?
I know,
Find
right?
Find a canola plant.
How dare they not breed in captivity?
What we've demonstrated in this study is a large-scale escape of a genetically modified crop in the United States, says Cindy Sagers, an ecologist at the University of Arkansas who led the study. Few scientists believe that the canola plants pose an environmental risk, but the study highlights the ease with which some genetically modified plants can spread beyond their fields. You're liking this other photo, aren't you? You're liking the second photo?
It is.
Yeah.
It
is. Canola plants are, here we go. Canola plants are used in cooking, oil, and animal feed, as well as some forms of biodiesel. And nearly all of America's canola is grown in North Dakota, as we heard before when I read the caption, which shouldn't have been read first. This year alone, the state will plant over 1 million acres of canola. Roughly 90% of the plants are genetically modified varieties that can resist two types of herbicides, glufosinate and glyphosate. Sagers and recent graduate student Meredith Schaefer originally traveled to North Dakota to study the very weeds that the herbicides were designed to control, but perhaps because of widespread spraying, they were having difficulty finding any. So this article continues to go on and talk about genetically modified plants that are resistant to certain types of things. And it finishes up with Sagers agreeing that canola won't take over, but she says her work highlights an important issue. Future varieties of genetically modified crops will escape into the environment. Studying North Dakota's canola should teach researchers exactly how that spreading occurs and what the potential impacts could be. And those are your words that go along with that pretty, pretty picture.
Literally, that is the scariest story I think I've ever heard.
That plants are breeding in the wild.
Yes. Plants are escaping into the wild and breeding.
It's pretty...
Away from nature.
They're trying to keep them in... I know, in North Dakota.
Yeah, in North Dakota.
They got their stranglehold on canola.
They do.
What are they going to put on their license plates, right?
I know. All of those poor Indians. Yeah.
Postcard. Postcard time.
Oh, it is. It's postcard time. Okay, so the second annual SF Street Food Festival for is Saturday, August 21st, 2010. And it is from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Folsom Street between 24th and 26th. So so that's between Shotwell and Treat. So that's a nice little chunk of the city, or the Mission. And it's free admission, repeat, free admission and cash for food and passports for savings. So, yeah, that looks pretty neat. It's sponsored by expensive grocery store with a can occasionally be referred to as whole paycheck, and a pseudo expensive vodka, and a pseudo hipster hotel chain, and a somewhat uninteresting local magazine about our local interestingness, and a bank that most people use.
Indeed.
Yeah. Banking. Speaking of banking, anybody got any money they'd like to donate to the Morning Intern Show? You just give us a call here at, what's our number? 415-341-1199. We are accepting donations. That's right. The interns are accepting donations. So you just call on in and you could donut. You could donut,
people.
You could donut.
You could donut some donuts.
You could come on down to the cafe and donut it out with a nice tasty vegan donut. I guess that's where I was going. I looked up and saw donuts and got confused. But I got a little announcement for something going on in the Mission this weekend, August 7th at 12 p.m. It's going to end about 5. It is the Music Flea Market. That's right, the Music Flea Market in Esperanza Garden at 19th in Florida in San Francisco, Saturday, August 7th, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. You can buy, sell, exchange, trade, teach, learn, play, dance. That's a lot of things you can do.
You can
There's
slice,
also
chop, and puree.
Oh, yeah. You can also trade musical instruments, records, audio equipment, dance costumes. Basically, it's a big music flea market where, if you're like me, I have about 8 cases of CDs that are sitting in my garage that I don't need anymore because they're all on the computer. And maybe you can go and swap some music with some people. That might be worth checking out. That's Saturday from noon to 5 at 19th and Florida, the Music Flea Market in the Mission.
You know, since we're on that, we should probably read some events for this weekend.
Excellent.
Today, which is Friday, August 6th, should say tonight, or today, no, today, the Happy Hour Comedy Show happens at the Purple Onion. That's a $5 show, and that is at 5:30 p.m. Mission Muralismo happens at the De Young. That's free, all ages, at 6 p.m. There's a film screening tonight at the ATA. It is called Makalopolis, or City of Factories. That happens at 7. Tonight at 8, Scraping for Change, Solid State Logic, Roosevelt Radio, 5 Minutes to Freedom are going to be playing at Slim's. That's a $14 to $16 show, all ages. We have the Zeros with Gorovets and Primitivas at Elbow Room, $11 show, 21 and up. That starts at 9 p.m. Let's see. Also, at the Parkside, Impaled plays with Funerot, Population Reduction, Man Among Wolves, DJ Rob Metal, $10 show, all ages, at 9 o'clock. The Hubba Hubba Review, Fairy Tales, takes place at a DNA Lounge. $12 in advance, $10 before. It's a 9:30 show. It says $15 after, and it's 21 and up. Kicks off at 9 p.m. The Frail, Strip Mall Architecture, Ted Nesseth of the Heavenly States, Ryan Carazula of Audrey Sessions, going to be playing at the Uptown in Oakland. That's a free show, 21 and up, and that happens at 9 p.m. And still tonight. No, that's everything for tonight. And I'm going to leave it at that for now. There's a lot going on tonight.
I've got a couple things.
Crystal's got some stuff. She's going to start reading.
San Francisco Theater Festival kicks off. It's a kickoff party at 111 Minna, and that's free, and that starts at 5 o'clock. And then there was something that was really cool that was happening. There's a Lower Haight Art Walk and Scavenger Hunt tonight, which I thought that was kind of cool.
Nice.
And then there is also this thing called MAP, and if you haven't heard of it, it's pretty neat. And I wanted
what
to
is go. That?
Hold on. I'm going to try and find it here. Aha! Yes, here it is. It's a Mission Arts and Performance Project. And it's tomorrow. It's all day, and it's free, and it's in the Mission District. And it's called a... it's what it says. It's a homegrown, bi-monthly, intercultural, multidisciplinary, unruly neighborhood cultural happening. It's not an art walk, thank God, and instead it's a collage of 20-plus odd spaces transformed into mini-cultural centers focused on intimate experiences of culture and people. So, yeah. MAP.
Where does that happen again?
It happens all over the it happens all over the Mission, but let me see what the actual website is so you can sort of look it up and find the map to go to the map. Wasn't that fantastic?
Yeah, that's nice.
That was pretty good.
The map to the map.
Map to the map. Okay, so places that are involved are Red Poppy Art House, Pathos on Harrison, all sorts of stuff. But you would want to go to...
This Mission Local website is actually really cool. I've never been on here before.
Oh. Is it on the Mission Local website, this MAP event?
It might be. I actually saw something that said MAPS.
Oh, yeah. I just clicked on that. It gives
you MAPS.
Is
that what... Is that what it is, or just maps for whatever where everything is?
It has maps of, I shouldn't say just, it's got maps of all kinds of things throughout the Mission, like places to eat and galleries and
nice
transportation map, queer history, biking the Mission's waterways. There's all kinds of
I saw this really disturbing one about the rats in the Mission.
Yeah, I was going to read that. That was going to be like my kickoff story.
I really don't want to slam a local restaurant, but I was surprised to see them named in the whole rat thing. And to be honest with you, I don't think that there's much anybody can do because they're just here and living amongst us, and that's what it is. You know, even here at Pirate Cat, we've been doing things lately to make sure the rodents have no access to our fine cafe.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So rest assured, ladies and gents.
Very proactive. But in the Mission, it seems like it might be a little bit of a problem. They live with us, and here's the story, but I don't want... You should read it, dude.
No, I don't have it up anymore. You can read it.
I don't really want to read it. I don't think it would... I don't...
Let's not read it, then.
Yeah.
Don't want to propagate
but
badness.
You can go to the website and read it yourself, though. It's out there. But, I don't really feel like it's appropriate to say, hey, this happened at this restaurant, and give them bad publicity.
I think that's a good point. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know...
It's part of life
here. Yeah, they're controlled as much as they can be.
Yeah.
No one wants.
And there's good
even
food
at my
here.
House. Like
I've
I see
food.
Them at my house, and I don't live in the Mission, and I'm not saying that's the only place they're at. But if I sit on my back porch and have a cup of coffee in the morning or late at night, you could totally see like a big fat rodent run across the fence line. Mm-hmm. But it's a good thing we have a lot of cats in the neighborhood, so. With all that pussy around, there's a good patrol going on with
that's
the
right.
rat population.
That's right.
Woohoo!
Thank God for those kitty cats.
Yeah.
That's right. 30 love.
We love cats here at Pirate Cat Radio.
That's right.
There's a cat that lives right up the street from me, and I'm pretty sure it's in heat every day. Or I don't know what those people do.
Meow.
Yeah, it's very mournful.
Ew.
It's monotone. It's like
Pepe Le Pew's like, "Oh, little kitty, I do not know what no means."
I don't know if it's a kid. It might be a kid too. I hope it's a cat.
We have a kid that lives across the street from my house, and everybody in my house refers to him as Dennis the Menace. He looks just like Dennis the Menace with his blonde hair and his overalls. He's just missing the slingshot hanging out of the back pocket.
Well, I think someone knows for Christmas.
Yeah, I'm going to be getting him a slingshot. His mom will be, dad will be like, "Thank you so much. Our 7-year-old boy needed a slingshot."
And now here's a pile of crap burning on your front porch. Thanks, neighbor.
He'll start screaming anywhere between like 6. His dad must go to work early, so our morning usually wake-up call if we're still asleep at 6:30 is, "Dad, Dad, Dad, Dad," screaming at the top of his little 7-year-old lungs. And it's kind of funny, and we all, you know, turn it into a nice joke so we don't get upset about it. But yeah, Dennis the Menace lives across from me, across the street from me, so I don't know if that makes me Mr. Wilson or not.
I think it but does.
I hope not.
Technically, I'm not bald enough to be Mr. Wilson, I guess. Not
was
yet
he
anyway.
Bald?
He had the old receder head, you know. His forehead turned into a 5 head.
you
make it sound like it's something hip.
It is, man. It is the look.
Yeah,
I actually
the receder.
I'm looking forward to the receder, because once I get the receder going, then I'm going to get a skullet. It's
nice.
Like the bald up front, mullet in the back, a skullet.
Man.
That's the way to go.
Is that like a party on both sides, though? Because if you have a bald head, you could be like party in the front, right?
Yeah, and party in the back, yeah.
So yeah, you're like 24-hour party.
You're like one of those cheesy porn stars. You could party in the front and party in the back.
I think I get where you're going with that.
I was just
clever,
making
sir.
A reference
clever.
To, you know, being at the nightclub. You know, sometimes to get VIP, you got to be popular, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Indeed.
Well, as long as I'm on Mission Local, I'm just going to read this little bit. The Illuminated Forest show that's been going on for a couple weeks here at the lab on 16th Street will be closing this weekend. They're going to have a closing party tomorrow, Saturday, August 7th at 6 p.m., featuring DJ Danimals with exhibition artists Jorge Bachman, Agnes Silag, Ben Brocken, Alan So, Suzanne Husky, Sam Easterson, Alice Santoro. Wow, there's a lot of people. Renee Charrier. I don't know if that's French. Von Bell, Jessica Redmond, and Hélène Oyen. Look at that. There's an O with a slash through it. Hélène Oyen Vister. So apologies if I destroyed anyone's name, but that probably will be a good show. It's free.
Yeah, Alan So puts on a really good show. He's the one that does the, oh man, what is it called? Brain is blank. Terribly sorry. I can't remember.
But you can vouch. It's a good show.
I can vouch that Alan So does some really interesting stuff.
All right, so go check that out.
I was on a double-decker bus doing a sound. He does sound wave. That's right. It's a sound wave installation stuff. It's 7:58.
It's 7:58. We're about to switch over here.
Ooh,
interns.
We have survived. And
about
it's Casey Lay.
Off.
And he's back from vacation. Didn't he go to Chi-Town? Is that where we went?
I don't know. Ask him.
Oh, yeah. I guess I could. He's a-coming. He's a-coming around the mountain.
He's taking a sweet time.
When he comes. Yeah, he's totally indifferent.
Hey.
Hey, good morning. Hey. We have a...
Good
some...
morning. Good morning.
Yeah, we got Fridays, and we can get Saturday's events in here, too. There is a lot going on tomorrow as well, and we have